This past February, Oregon Governor Kate Brown declared her support for removing 4 hydroelectric dams on the Snake River in Washington state, saying that the removal of the dams is the best way to increase endangered salmon runs. In Colorado, environmental groups have long pushed for removal of the Colorado River Dam along the Arizona-Utah border. Tonight I'm speaking with environmental activist and lawyer Will Falk, who was involved in the first ever American federal lawsuit seeking personhood and the rights of nature for a major ecosystem, the Colorado River. To start, could you tell me a little bit about this case and how it came about?
The lawsuit started as an idea to challenge the notion in American law that nature is only property. And we believed, me and 4 other people that lived in the Colorado River Basin, believed that the fact that American law only considers nature property is one of the primary reasons that we've landed in the environmental mess that we are currently living through. We got together and decided that we wanted to bring a lawsuit with the Colorado River as the plaintiff. So we wanted to list the Colorado River as the being who is actually suing the state of Colorado and the Colorado Attorney General Office. We did so seeking a declaration from the federal court in Denver that the Colorado River is a living being who is capable of possessing standing to sue in American courts and who can sue to protect her rights to exist, flourish, regenerate, and naturally evolve. And again, this is a concept that many people think is kind of a novel idea, kind of a new idea, but we really think is an idea that's as old as humans. Many traditional cultures have lived in manners that respected the sacredness of the natural world. And they did so for a very long time without messing the natural world up. So we saw this as an opportunity to gain a ruling from the courts that major ecosystems like the Colorado River could possess rights and could enforce those rights in American courts.
And what happened when you brought this case to court?
So this case completely contradicted centuries of American legal precedent. You know, like I said before, the entire American legal system and, in fact, the American economic system are founded on the idea that the natural world is there for us to exploit, for us to use. In many ways, the American economy wouldn't work without exploiting the natural world. So the Colorado Attorney General very quickly threatened us within weeks after we filed the lawsuit, threatened us with what are called Rule 11 sanctions, which can subject the attorneys who brought the case to fines, to punishments as strict as taking their license to practice law away. They moved very quickly to retaliate against us and try and stamp this idea out.
And what did you do in response?
The lead attorney on the case has a small pro bono practice, often represents poor people and other people who normally couldn't afford legal representation. And when he took all of that into consideration, he decided that it wasn't worth facing the sanctions and voluntarily dismissed the lawsuit.
Right now, if I am correct, we do accord corporations the status of personhood. Is that right?
Yes. So there are several things to talk about when we talk about personhood. Personhood has kind of been thrust into the spotlight in the last decade or so with sort of infamous federal cases that have made it all the way to the Supreme Court, like a case called Citizens United, where corporations were found to have First Amendment free speech protection when they donate to political campaigns, and they were the Supreme Court found that they could donate unlimited money and they could use the First Amendment to protect their right to do that. Personhood is kind of a bundle of rights. So It's not exactly saying that corporations are the same as human beings, but what it is saying is that the fictitious and non-existent legal entity, a piece of paper that we call a corporation, is capable of invoking many of the same civil rights that human beings in the United States are capable of possessing and of invoking in court. One of the major problems with this is corporations have vastly superior wealth and vastly superior resources to bring into court. And kind of a basic reality in American law is those who can bring more cases, who can pay more attorneys to argue their cases, over time will be able to influence the courts to make decisions that they want to make. And this idea of personhood has slowly expanded throughout the history of the United States. And as they have gained more civil rights, they've been able to increase their wealth and power, which they've been in turn used to gain more rights, and the vicious cycle continues all the way to today.
So I just want to be clear here. So the courts allow corporations who are actually fictitious entities to the status of personhood, but they came down against allowing a river, which is actually a real entity, from having the same rights.
Absolutely.
How did they argue that? And
well, again, I think at the heart of the argument is that corporations are composed of shareholders, of people. So in that sense, they at least reflect the values of shareholders. They are groups of people that seek to maximize their wealth. So they're sort of a step from humans. They're a collection of humans. But I think it's a really weird idea. If you look at the history of humanity, humans have existed in our present state as Homo sapiens for around 250,000 years. And we only have really destroyed the environment on a massive scale in the last 10,000 years or so. All humans used to observe ideas like rights of nature, used to observe ideas like rivers are sacred. And of course, the Colorado River, who provides water to close to 40 million people in the Colorado River Basin in the western United States, is absolutely integral to life. If 60% of the human body is water, and you're getting most of your water from the Colorado River, 60% of those 40 million people is the Colorado River. We are the Colorado River, and what happens to the Colorado River happens to us. So we really need to observe ideas like rights of nature to protect the beings that give us life.
So the actual case that you wanted to bring before the Colorado State Legal Board was to remove the Colorado Dam. Can you talk a little bit about the reasons for doing that?
Yeah, so... There are several major dams on the Colorado River, and these dams they do a lot of horrible things. But the first and I think maybe most obvious thing that they do that's really bad is they stop the Colorado River from flowing all the way to the ocean. So since the 1960s, the Colorado River has dried up about 100 miles before reaching its natural end or natural joining with the ocean in the Gulf of California. All rivers are part of the global water cycle, which means that their role in the planet's life support systems are to take fresh water that falls from the sky or that wells up from springs in the ground or that melts as snowpack, to take that water to the ocean where that water is then again heated up by the sun, goes back up into the sky, and this is a cycle that can go on forever and ever and ever, and can support billions of years of life. Well, the dams interrupt that. The dams are holding water in reservoirs, and the dozens of miles below where the Colorado River dries up are now deserts where they used to be lagoons and marshes, and there used to be countless non-humans that called those places home. So that's one of the very first really horrible things that dams do. Another maybe more graphic thing that they do is dams allow human beings to completely control wild rivers. So when I was writing my book, How Dams Fall, I spent a day with the United States Fish and Wildlife fisheries biologist who explained how with the dams, human beings can control the temperature of the Colorado River to a tenth of a degree Fahrenheit by lowering and raising water from the dams. And he basically said that the Colorado River is a huge bathtub. You can let water out and you can put water in. So through dams, we've taken one of the most beautiful and wild beings on the planet, and we have reduced her to a bathtub. Mm.
So what's the status right now of the case that you brought before? Was it ever heard?
No, we never got to argue the case on the merits, and it was dismissed. There are lots of rights of nature efforts going on across the country right now. Perhaps the most the one getting the most notoriety right now is in Toledo, Ohio, where citizens used the Citizens Initiative process to bring a Lake Erie Bill of Rights, and 61% of the people who voted in that election did indeed vote to grant Lake Erie rights. This is an idea that it seems like people want, and people are using their votes to support, and this is an idea that could help us transform American law to respond to the problems that we're seeing today. But it's also an idea that could possibly or probably take a really long time. It takes a really long time for the courts to respond to what many see as radical changes in rights. I mean, the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments, the Civil Rights Amendments were passed after the Civil War, and they were passed in 1868. Well, the rights under those amendments weren't really recognized until the 1950s and 60s, so almost 100 years to actually affect change. So rights of nature, if they're actually going to be observed by the courts, could take a long time. However, they're showing us, they're illustrating for people why the courts are maybe not the right place to seek change. They're showing us how problematic the American legal system really is, how disinterested the American governments and state governments are in actually doing what is needed to protect the natural world and save the planet.
Will Falk will be speaking at the University of Oregon Law School on March 8th, and on Tuesday night in Portland, he will be speaking at the Lucky Lab in Portland. For details, go to Oregon Community Rights Network, orcrn.org. I am Suzanne LeGrand for KBOO Community Radio News, KBOO Portland.